Hey there, Danny with Right Foot Down. I messed up this ad read so many times because I really want to tell you about Track Monkey Apparel. They make great quality, enthusiast shirts along with hats, stickers, watches, patches, you name it. A couple of my personal favorites are their Life is Better at the Track tee and their One Track Mind tee. You should really check them out and see for yourself. Their products are great for you or the gearhead in your life. Visit trackmonkeyapparel.com.
You're listening to the Untitled Car Show in partnership with RightFootDown.com. Visit RightFootDown for your daily automotive fix. If you enjoyed today's program, please tell a friend. It's the best way to support this show. If you want to visit the archives, go to YouTube and search for Untitled Car Show. That'll bring you to the archived episodes. If you want to follow the show, just search for Untitled Car Show on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can always send an email to the show at untitledcarshow@rightfootdown.com. We're so glad you decided to spend the next hour or so with us. Without further ado, let's get into today's program. Hello, and welcome to Untitled Car Show. Ooh, I am peaky right there. Sorry about that, everyone. Great way to start off the show. It's been wonderful, wonderful evening. So I am joined by the magnanimous, the illustrious Matthew Phillips. Matthew, how are you doing
Hello.
This evening?
I'm pretty good.
Wonderful. You host a wonderful little podcast called Flat Sideways Fully Locked, if I am not mistaken.
Sir.
If I'm not mistaken, you with someone else. It's a fun little show. Look at me being, it's a good show. You host it with several other people. I think you've done a couple solo episodes recently as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Aren't those? Apparently, everyone's life just took sort of like an adult hit. So while everyone else is recovering, I'm just like trudging through by myself. Like, huh? I can basically, I'm using this as a chance to sort of try different things that I've always wanted to do that the group maybe not wanted to do. So I'm like, you know, they can't say no, so I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yep. It's, you know, it's like sex, you know, as this moment you involve someone else, they can say no. If it's just you, it's just
in
you.
My right hand.
Exactly. So, you know, it's. Does it, can't say no. What's it signing? Like no. I like the show. I always find it entertaining when I see it coming up on the iTunes. I am still really peaky for some reason. So, aren't those solo episodes really fun though? This is Ike podcast about podcasts like. Group dynamic is a lot more of a safety net where you can kind of, I lost my train of thought, so I'm going to give it to someone else, and they'll pick it up and they'll take it to the spot. It's a skill.
I don't know how you do it. Yeah, it really is a skill. Like, I remember last year I ended up doing a solo episode one time because, scheduling conflicts just came up. And I'm just over here just like, you know, what am I going to talk about? Like, I knew what I was going to talk about. I'm just like, well, how do I talk about this? How do I deliver this in a way that's still entertaining? And then what ended up happening recently is more like, you know, I guess I really have to turn myself into instead of, I don't know, it is different from when I'm in the group dynamic because I think it turns into a different show when it's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the issue I had. And for those listening who are longtime listeners, we've been back down to one day a week because my life has also been very adulty recently, which sucks. I need to get that.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to just be a little bit more time to just have fun. But a lot of that gets sucked up by working on cars. And since we're talking about cars now, I have to know, in 2017... I think you're the person I've known who has bought and sold the most amount of cars while simultaneously saying, no, this is the last car I'm going to be buying.
gosh. I don't know who it was, but someone actually made me go through a run through all my cars if you wanted to.
Oh, no, that's what's coming next, yeah. So, like.
Oh, fine. All right. So, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, so I started 2017 in my blue 87 Cherokee. That was too thirsty, and I was getting too broke for how much it was costing. So then I bought a Mercury Sable for $200. Let's see, what came after the Sable. After the Sable, I ended up getting... I traded the Jeep for a 2004 Chrysler Pacifica. And then I ended up selling the Mercury and buying a Taurus SHO. And then... Right now, I'm dealing the SHO. The Pacifica crapped out on me. And then... Shocking. Right... And then, let's see. Go figure. Chrysler. Let's see. Then I have the Bronco, which is my current project, which is going to be the spiritual successor to my old XJ Cherokee. And I have a 1953 Buick Roadmaster, which I got from my grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's... a fascinating thing to me is the old Buick Roadmaster. It's,
yeah.
So that's, you know, unfortunate in the manner in which you got it, but,
unexpected.
Yeah. Which is always unfortunate, but
yeah,
it's a cool memory and you're kind of bringing it back to life. So what can you kind of tell us about the car?
Right now, 53 was the first year the V8 was offered. They, like, prior to that, it just had the straight 8, and then it had a newer Dynaflow transmission, which instead of gears, it was like this overcomplicated jet turbine CVT. Yeah.
Easy to work on, is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of put together like a rotary engine. So it... the one thing I'm having issues with right now is I'm pretty sure the motor's locked up. Like, I've sprayed all kinds of manner of PB and marble moisture oil down there, and it's not budging. So when it warms up, I have it under a car cover right now. When it warms up, I'm going to see if I can acquire the tools to pull the motor and then see if I can break it free outside when it's not connected to the transmission, because it might actually be the transmission holding back the motor from turning. Because I think they're connected in a way that's a lot different from how a normal car is connected. I'm not really sure all that works. All that pre- and post-war technology sort of mixing together, making this archaic little thing that no one really keeps track of anymore. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, that's why it kind of, it's so endearing to me is, you know, because it's a fascinating car, and, you know, it's, like you said, basically right after the war, you know, a lot of interest in technology in it, like Buick, like, we're going to be trying new fancy-ass shit, and it's like,
yeah,
a lot of that didn't work, and we forget about the stuff that didn't work, and we're kind of left with, like, oh, Chevy built V8s, and they had, like, transmissions, like, yep. 3-on-a-tree, like, that's all they did, right? Like, no, there was a lot more weird crap out there.
The offshoot to Chevy was all the experimental stuff, you know, the stuff they did in the closet that, you know, if you had money, you can sort of splurge on. It's like, oh, my car has this, blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's cool. But, mm-hmm. you know, if it's sitting in a shed for like 40-something years not being used, and then it just all sort of deteriorates a lot differently than a normal car would. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm. Does it have any body rot issues on it?
You know what? It has less rust than my Bronco does.
I laugh because every single person I've known who's had a Bronco has had no floors. It's
my Bronco has a floor, thankfully.
Well, what else is it? It doesn't have a rear end because something's missing. There's a hole. I could probably put my fist through a hole somewhere in that vehicle. I guarantee it.
My tailgate.
Oh, okay. See?
You can see through the ground from the tailgate.
Mm.
And, let's see. there's a small pinhole sized like little thing on the floor, but it's I compare it to my Jeep. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Bronco. They're cool cars. Everyone likes them. They're different than a Jeep, and they're kind of cool because they're kind of different. But at the end of the day, it's an
F-150.
Yeah, it's an F-150, but they're just rust magnets, and I don't know why. Like, I've never met a Bronco I can't fist. That's pretty much what it comes down to. So I mean,
yeah.
You got this. You got this. I'm so curious. So, like, the neighbors, they see what, like, four. Oh, do they think people keep moving in and out, or like, are they aware of the collection?
My neighbors are the chillest people I probably could have lived next to, because, you know, I remember bringing home the Buick one day. When I brought home the Buick, the next day they're like, you know, you have enough cars? I'm like, you never have enough cars. And then the other lady who lives there, she's just like, you know, when you get it running, I want to ride it. I'm like, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The lady behind us, her father built the house we lived in. And she actually enjoys that me and my roommate are actually still using the property. I'm assuming her father did a lot of this mess, too. He just cut a lot of crap around the yard, and then, yeah.
I mean,
but,
guys who like to tinker. That's what it is.
Exactly. And my goal for 2017 was, yes, I do not want to get another car. And then things started happening. The Jeep turned out to be a big piece of shit, and then I ended up hating the Sable.
It just happens. You know, it's like when you announce to the world, I'm done looking for love. I'm just going to go off and be single for the rest of my life. And then that's when the women roll into your life. That's just how it works. And that's kind of how it works with cars sometimes. It's like, I'm done buying cars, except for that car, because it's got my name all over it. So,
in my defense, I was sick when I brought the Bronco. I wasn't in the best state of mind.
It's fine. You know, I'm curious how many people have bought the Broncos. So when new, you had to buy the Broncos sober, right? Like, you couldn't go out and you can't sign a contract for Bronco new. But I'm wondering how many people have been in altered states who've actually purchased Broncos. Have we reached a tipping point yet? I've had a little to drink. I'm going to be out there. I've gotten to Craigslist and, hey, Bronco, I'm going to get a Bronco. Is that so cool? Because, again, the other person I know who bought a Bronco actually was drunk off their ass when they got it. So, it's their new tattoo. You can't even get a tattoo drunk anymore, but you can get a Bronco. That's crazy to me.
I know it's not going to stick around because, you know, if you see my Twitter, like, I made the mistake of getting in a newer Cherokee. I'm just like, you know what, this a lot better than my old Cherokee.
Yeah. But if you're looking for better, then you don't want old cars. Like, that's kind of how that works. Like, better defeats the purpose of having crap cars.
Those cost money.
Yeah, it's true.
They cost lots of money. Like,
You could get a new Mirage for, like, $9,000. I'm just saying. So.
Well, then... You know, I look like this. My SHO, one of the most fun cars I've ever owned was $400. Yeah. Mirage is $9,000. Yes, it's newer, probably more reliable, and will probably last a lot longer than the SHO will. But I will probably murder myself.
This is, I am a staunch defender of the Mirage, but I don't think it's a car for car enthusiasts, because it is boring as hell to drive, which is what people want.
I do like the Nissan Versa.
You like what? How?
The Nissan Versa Note. I rented one of those once when I was one of my classes ended, and I rented the book. It was an online class at a school 3.5 hours away from me, so I had to get the book back to the bookstore before the bookstore closed on the day the class ended. So, I left work, ran to Enterprise, rented the cheapest thing they had, I wanted a new Hyundai Accent because it was new and, you know, I had money. I'm like, oh, cool, I want this new car. I want to see what this is like. They didn't have any left. They had the Nissan Versa Note. I'm like, you know, they had the Nissan Versa Note, and it was an older Accent, like the 2010, 2011 piece of shit. And I'm like, you know what? Give me the keys to the Nissan. I need to go. I liked it. The CVT was interesting. It's my first time driving a CVT. Some research later, it was actually Nissan's, like, more improved CVT, whatever. And it felt fine for what it was. It had more power than probably anything I've owned up to the SHO. And
that's so sad. You know, what's the car you've driven with the most horsepower? Versa Note. What?
I've driven faster cars. I've owned slower cars.
Yeah. Slow cars are fine. Slow car fast is a lot better than fast car slow. I mean, that's, you know, car enthusiasm 101 right there. So,
to a point, but yes.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't, if you like the Note, I think you'd like the Mirage, because they're basically peas in the pod, but, and,
I guess,
you know, there's more fit and finish to a Note, but that's kind of why I don't like it, because a Note is like,
yeah,
super expensive compared to a Mirage, but
yeah,
the flip side of that is I think we got to get you a car that actually has some horsepower. I think is what we really need to do. I mean, the show, I think, well, thank God, puts out 300 and some horsepower, or it's right at 300 right now.
200. The first two generations of SHO pushed out 220 horsepower when new.
Yeah, we need to get you a car that breaks 300. Like, that's pretty much what this comes down to.
The maturing adult in me wants a 6-speed Chevy SS. The still in college Walmart manager in me can afford a Nissan G35 in probably like a year and a half. So I'm aiming for the.
See, you know, I like where you're going with this. So this brings up a interesting idea, because that's kind of, so you could get a, you know, what's weird is the Pontiac G6 is actually haven't come down in value though. Like, I figure, or the G8. The GA, I
there we
spoke.
Go. Okay.
Yeah, the GA. The GA.
Yeah.
Which is nuts to
cool,
me.
But
yeah.
The SSs have all the new stuff in it. It's basically this, basically the 4-door Camaro that, you know, they never sold us. Well, they did sell us, but nobody wanted.
Yeah. Well, it's not that no one wanted. They're like, you could probably walk into a Chevy dealership, like, when they were trying to sell those things and be like, hey, I need a 4-door rear-wheel drive sports car with a V8 in it. Like, do you guys sell that? And probably dealers would be like, no. Like, oh, okay. I'm going to go over to BMW then. Like, they'd probably be sitting on an SS and be like, no, we don't have that. Like,
you know,
are you sure?
I blame it on my old Crown Victoria too, because I love that full size car feel. My roommate says when my Buick's running, they'll shake anything Crown Victoria out of me. I still doubt it, because they're two different weight classes of vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I like full size cars. The Crown Victoria is actually kind of a small car for a full size car too. Like,
it is. Yeah. It's actually if you compare it to maybe, let's see, if you compare it to other cars in this class, like the Impala, probably the Impala. When I had my Crown Victoria, my roommate had a 2008 Impala, and the Crown Victoria was longer and wider, but when it came to interior volume, I think they're about the same.
Yeah, and like, what generation, Paul? Like the 04? To whatever
prior,
the hell,
previous generation.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, those things were kind of just roomy on the inside, the Impalas, and then like the Crown Vic was kind of like cramp somehow.
They also cannot keep up with prototype Aston Martin DB11s. Just if anyone wanted to know.
That this is good knowledge. This is good consumer advice. I like the way this is going. So,
if you're on the company.
Yeah, I mean, allegedly. So the but I'm kind of wondering, so if you're, since we both sit there and we browse through Craigslist more than any rational human being should, who's not, I mean, we both got this problem of, I'm not buying a car, but we probably spend all day on Craigslist looking at the car a bit. So, you know, I'm thinking, if you want a Chevy SS, but you can't afford a Chevy SS, what's the car you get? And I'm like, I was thinking Pontiac G8, but you probably can't even afford that still, because those are still in like the $30,000 range.
You know what I would get instead of a G8? I would probably get either, I'd probably get like a first run Charger or Magnum RT.
That's a good option. That's and those things did not keep their value at all, which is
That's the beauty of American cars.
Well, again,
everyone thinks it's a bad thing, but no, it's perfect for people like me who loves cars and can also afford good ones when they depreciate 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. And you can get the V8 and those engines, you know, as much as I don't like Dodge and as bad as those cars treated me, you get a car that has a V8, those things will last for forever. I haven't heard any horror stories of those. So
after my Pacifica, though, I'm very worried about going Mopar. The people who bought it after me, they went broke fixing it. And then they had to sell it again.
Yeah, I mean, that's just Chrysler in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of the shame of it, is because, like, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say a lot of electrical issues.
Yeah. What I ended up finding out was, what killed it for me on my end before I sold it was, actually the coil packs, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it was probably running on one or two cylinders when I sold it. He said he had to take off the whole upper intake of the motor, and I don't know how much he spent on new coil pack, but all I know that he is no longer his possession, and I think he's still in debt.
I mean, it would be so nice if, because they're not well engineered cars, I guess is the best politest way to put that, where, you know, I feel like Chevy has an entire division devoted towards how do our mechanics take stuff out of this car?
And
Chrysler is very much like we're going to shove it in there with a crowbar and God help anyone who tries to fix it. So
my two modern vehicles are Chrysler products. I had my 99 Grand Cherokee and my 2004 Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
And they spoiled me, because I know what a newish car feels like.
Yeah.
And I want it back. But, no, it's you know what? I see it also like this, too. The SHO was a benchmark, because it's a car I've wanted. My first car was a basic Taurus, and I've always wanted an SHO. So I've achieved ultimate Taurus, but that SHO also has 256,000 miles. I drive it every day. And I'm not sure, as much as a cult classic is going to be, I can always get another one for $3,000-$4,000 in like a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, this one was extremely hard to find, and mine's interesting to say the least, but when it dies, I'm for what it is, essentially a fast over-engineered Taurus, I'm not going to put it to the side and restore it later, because there are other and better cars I can do it that way.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not worth the. That's a car you buy, rag out, and then let it go when it goes. You know.
Exactly. Considering, I was about to buy my roommate's piece of shit box body, and then found the SHO anyway. So the SHO was the better deal all around. I'm enjoying it. I love it, but I know it's not going to last forever. I'm going to use up everything I bought it for.
Mm-hmm.
Sell it before it becomes a piece of shit. And then get something else.
Yeah. And that's a decent car, too, because you can always, if it bricks out on you, you can always sell parts and make some money off of it. Because there's always someone looking for, like, it's got Yamaha-tuned headers or some bullshit, so I'm going to go out and buy that shit. And put that on my normal Taurus and then claim it's a show.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I like that generation of Taurus, too. It was my family hauler. It was what my dad hauled us around in when I was a kid, too. So I always I always enjoyed those Tauruses.
I've owned three Taurus variants, two second generations and one third generation. The second generation by far is probably the better one.
Yeah. They're great cars, and they're, you know, people rag on them because they're not a Camry, but they're good. They're perfectly usable for what you want to use them for, you know.
And the best Taurus, honestly, I think is the Wagon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, the best version of any car is the Wagon version of that car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
And the beauty of the SHO, so the motor is designed to be placed any direction you want to face it. Huh. So, I think a few days ago, in fact, I was trying to acquire a buddy's wrecked Volvo 240. Hmm. And then I was going to put that to the side because what I was going to do was when the body of my SHO is just not usable anymore, I was just going to drive, put the engine in the 240. There's an adapter plate you can get to hook it up to the 6-speed from a Honda S2000 and then throw that in the Volvo 240.
Well, that would be interesting. As someone doing an engine swap in basically the same car, not as easy as you would think.
It's not.
No.
It would actually be easier to drop it into a Ford Ranger, Aerostar, or a 3-liter Explorer because the 3-liter SHO motor is based on the Vulcan.
Yeah.
So the motor mounts and everything else like would just plop right on. I just have to get a bell housing from the Ranger or Explorer, and then I can have a 5-speed 2-wheel drive Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, but
all this talk of adapter plates makes me think of something. Though, what is the adapter? Is that Buick you have? Does that use the same bell housing as all the GMs of that era, or is it got the special weird Buick one?
I have no idea. I know nothing of vehicles prior, to the 90s. I have no idea what I'm doing with this thing.
Yeah,
I pop the hood. Yeah. I see a motor. I see everything going back. It's even the way the brakes are set up. It's so foreign.
Yeah, which is weird because it's nice though because the Nova motor I have that's going into Chevy or going into Volvo it's got a wire for the ignition, it's got a wire for the starter, and that's it. And one for the alternator. That's all you need. It's simple, stupid stuff. This goes to the distributor, and it goes, yep.
That's probably the nice thing about cars of that vintage, though, because once I do get everything sorted out, once I can get the motor to spin, hopefully getting it to actually start won't be that hard when it comes to wiring.
Yeah.
This is also my first time tackling anything other than the Craigslist special. It just needs a spark plug to run, or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's been sitting in my backyard for 5 years. No, this has been sitting in a backyard for 40 years. It's a completely different task.
Yeah, that'll just eat up your time if you let it. But it's fun. It's a nice little thing. Yeah. It's something you could have beers over and hopefully not kill yourself on jack stands, because that's make me so nervous watching that.
I'm glad that happened when no one was around it, to be honest, too, because if that fell on someone, either the neighbor's kids or the pets, because the cat likes to hang around my junkyard, me and my roommate's junkyard all the time.
I made that mistake once with the Volvo 740. I had it up on jack stands, and the place I was living at the time had no concrete driveway, so it just had gravel, and the thing just sunk in on me, and I was underneath it at the time, and it was one of those things where I went out to get a tool, and it just kind of went down in there. I'm like, well, thank God I'm not underneath that. So.
Wow.
Yep. Good. The car could have taken me out, but thank God it didn't.
Wow.
Yeah. That's one of those lessons learned. Yeah.
If any one of us were into that Buick, I would not be here right now.
Yeah. No, I know. That's the shame of it. Which is, you know, it's kind of the weird bit about car enthusiasm is we all love cars. We all, you know, enjoy working on them and da-da-da-da. But at the end of the day, these are giant moving machines that have all sorts of fans and belts, and they weigh several tons, and it's kind of a weird thing.
The whole danger aspect of, you know, cars, I guess it's been ingrained in our culture so much that we don't really think about it until it really happens. Like, once I turn out that driveway, there's probably a chance. Like, I'm not sure of the exact numbers because it's not my forte. But, you know, every time I step out there, like, a week before Christmas, I was actually sideswiped by a Chevy Traverse who was avoiding another car. The damage was minor. But again, like, it could have been much worse, especially with the car that hit me. And, you know, it's things like that that make you think, you know, every time we go out there, the speeds we're traveling, how we're driving, you know, any reckless move, anything like that, it can change your life forever if anything goes wrong. So it,
yeah. Well, and it's especially, you know, you put together a car, you fix it up and you put it together, and then it's all on you. It's like, did I tighten down the bolts in the seatbelt? Is this safe for me to be in? Is this safe for me to put someone else in? Are the wheels on? Because I've done that once too. Like, are the wheels on?
I never told you about my new job, have I?
No.
I work in the Tire and Lube Express at my local Walmart. I am now the shop manager for the Tire Lube Express. Right now, they're training me at a different store from mine, so I'm commuting about 30 miles one way back and forth. I've never realized how nerve-wracking it is to do an oil change when it's someone else's car.
Yeah. Well, that was one of my roommates when I first moved to D.C. He went out, bought himself a, you know, previously owned Nissan Altima. Or not Altima. Which one's the mid-size one? Is that the Altima? Central? Yeah, Altima. Yeah.
Altima and Maxima, they're both the same size.
Yeah. It's one of those Nissans. Anyway, he took it down to the local, like, Jiffy Lube or whatever, and they ended up not putting the oil drain plug back in. So he pulled up into the garage. He's like, because I had just gotten the Challenger. Well, this before I had the Challenger, so I was still working on the Saturn. He pulls up and he's like, "Look at the new car!" And I'm like, "Oh, this is nice." And I went, "Why is there a trail of oil following you behind you?" So it was literally, we got into the Saturn and we took it back to the Jiffy Lube and we're like, "You didn't put the oil thing back into it."
And
I thankfully had my phone out at the time and I was kind of recording what was going on. It was like, "Well, no, we put it back. You can't prove that we didn't put it back in." And one of the shop guys comes down from underneath and goes, "Hey, Ted, what's this?" And I went, "That's a drain plug to a 2009 Nissan Altima." "Oh, so you have it." And the trail of oil kind of tells the rest of the story. So, so that part I can't imagine. Not so much me working on cars, but having other people around me working on cars. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. But at least you get to work on cars instead of dealing with people. That's kind of a positive.
Yeah. I was previously the customer service manager. And that was fun. You know, getting yelled at and nagged at all day, dealing with cashiers and all the other fun stuff. It's fun being a student and, you know, not having a degree.
Yeah. Yep, all the fun, wonderful world of non-college education. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying life. Well, I tell my girlfriend, you know, I go through all these cars now because I know, you know, if we ever get married in the future, you're not going to let me do it. And she's like, right. So.
You can't let them have that power. I made the same mistake. And then
No, deep down, we know it's not really going to stop. It's just going to be instead of going through like 5 or 6 cars a year, probably just be like 2.
Yeah, like 1, 2, you know, just trying to hide them under tarps, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever works, yeah.
There, a guy who almost bought my Mustang, he was going to hide it from his wife. He said it was his 7th one. I think she only knew about 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah, no, there's the father-in-law has a collection of airplanes, like model airplanes, and okay. He will buy the same kind to keep it, like, the number hidden from the mother-in-law. It's like, at that point, we've reached a point when you start hiding it, where we've gone past collecting, and now we're into hoarding.
That's hoarding, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the thing is, so I'm aware my collection has gone beyond it's gone beyond comfortable realm. With the Bronco and SHO, okay, yes, that's fine. The Buick though, the Buick is such a long term project. Like half of me just wants to put it back in storage until I get my own place to actually fully work on it.
Yeah, that's kind of the catch-22 with that, because if you take it and put it into storage, so you can get around to working on it. When you have the, you know, time and opportunity,
yeah.
Then it's going to sit there in storage and it's just going to deteriorate and get worse. And, you know,
yeah.
What's the right thing to do? And it's kind of the catch-22 with it.
So, the right thing to do would probably just to keep, I don't know, personally, the easy thing to do is just do a whole drivetrain swap. But I don't know, a big part of me wants to really experience that what that old 322 still has in it, see what it can, you know. How?
Yeah.
Before I put a modern brake system and modern brake system, I want to drive the original motor drivetrain and experience what it's like driving a 70-plus-year-old vehicle with a 4-wheel non-power drum brakes, at least once.
Yeah, that's an experience I think you'll have once, and then you'll be like, "Holy crap! I need to go, not do this anymore." Yep. But not a light car either, so yeah.
It's, I don't know. How, part of me also thinks I took something a bit larger than I could chew. But if you look at the circumstances, though, I mean, my last year my grandmother passed, so right now my grandfather, my uncle, they're just going through like everything they have right now, and they're just liquidating smaller parts because my grandfather's not getting any younger. The Buick was on this property that basically they haven't rented out in years, and it was falling in disrepair. And my uncle and I were walking around because there's also another Taurus back there, which I'm going to cut up to use for basically body parts for the SHO because it does have some rust and, you know, same body. I can just cut it up, weld it on, whatever.
Yeah.
We got around to the Buick and he's like, you know, if you have any plans for you, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to get rid of it. You know, just probably sell it. I'm like, well, how about this? I can just. Basically how I got my Grand Cherokee off of him. I joked around, you know, you can just donate it to me, and he's basically the same thing happened. Get it out of here, it's yours.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, which is, it's great. I mean, that's kind of the best way to get a car and kind of the worst way to get a car. So.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's the most fun way, too. Like, the whole process of getting out of the garage, because the amount of brush that's grown around the shed it was in. I'm pretty sure there are trees that are there that weren't there when my grandfather was actively driving it in and out of the garage. The alleyway that we had it towed out of. That was an active street, I'm guessing, 30 years ago, because it's just overgrown brush and acorns now. And when the neighbors called the cops on us because we took the fence apart and, you know, my roommate's truck was in their backyard trying to pull this giant boat anchor out of a shed. The cops came and they're like, you know, what are you guys doing back here and how did you even get back here? We showed them, you know, hey, like the fence opens up like this, that alleyway right there, you know, you can drive in and out of it and blah, 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 blah. The tow truck surprisingly fit back there. If he didn't show up, we wouldn't have gotten out because my roommate's truck, F-150 as it is, it was too light. It didn't have enough grip. It was too light. The tires on the Buick were flat. The front wheels weren't spinning, so it just sort of fishtailed all over the place. So we ended up just sort of winching it out with the tow truck's pulley, and then got it out and drove it. I got it towed like 180-200 miles back to Central Virginia.
Not bad. Nice little trip. I'm just so, you know, I want to see that thing. Personally, I want to see it on the road, but there's not really a car. Well, I don't know. It's of the cars you've had. So the Pacifica obviously is the worst one, and I just kind of went off on a tangent there. But like, you know, what's the worst one, and what's the best one you've gotten from Craigslist?
Ooh. So mm-hmm. I actually get cars a mixture from Craigslist and a mixture from Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. The last car I got on Craigslist was, let's see, what was it? What did I have before? That was my Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 2016. The worst car I probably had, even though I hate to admit it, was probably my Mustang. As much as I loved that car, and it gave me everything it had, it cut off all the time. There are some times where I'd have to wait for it to cool down before I turn it back on. It was underpowered. Like, when it was new, I had 80 horsepower, probably had 50 or 60 by the time I got to it. I'm pretty sure it wasn't safe. Gosh.
It's not a good car. Best? I mean, yeah.
I love Fox Body Mustangs, but I don't see myself buying one anytime soon unless it has a 302 and in really good condition, which just so happens I have the opportunity to get one for $1,600 that I don't have. But, again, not anytime soon. Let's see. The best one I've had... It's not the SHO. I think it was probably my 1999 Grand Cherokee. If you can take away the fact that the sun leaked and it had a puddle in it for like 3 years because my it was just sitting in my uncle's yard. It had that Jeep 4-liter. It had four-wheel drive. It was comfortable. I managed to get 20 miles per gallon out of it on the highway.
That's not bad.
It was probably my first actual luxury vehicle that wasn't my Crown Victoria.
Luxury.
So, in quotes. Luxury. Boat. Yeah. But no, I want to say it was probably my Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Well, I got to go here in just a moment. So what I want to do is make sure that we get your stuff plugged here. So obviously Flat Sideways fully locked. You can go on to the...
you can go iTunes, SoundCloud. Yeah. Apparently we're on Spotify too. I found that out. That's pretty cool.
That's nice.
We're on Instagram at flatsideways_FL. And you can follow me on Twitter at AceConvoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still confused as to how that works. Like, you're good at convoys? I'm not quite 100%.
Well, my internet usernames that I made back when I was prior to 16 years old, and I just never got around to changing them, and everyone already knows me by it. I'm just like, you know what? This name is part of me. I'm just going to keep rolling with it. It actually came out because as much as I love cars and trains and boats and all other stuff, I'm also a huge fan of Transformers, and the Japanese name for Optimus Prime is Convoy.
Huh.
So
I learned a thing.
That's how that came to me. And if you look at my look at my Skype name. So
it's true.
Yeah. So that's just another thing that came out of it. It's another part of me and I'm gonna stick with it.
Fascinating individual. Sorry we didn't have more time to talk this evening because I gotta go run here a second. Definitely everyone needs to go check out the solo episodes, all the episodes, the back catalog. If you haven't heard it on the show, it's definitely worth a listen. Follow you on all the social media. When we're going to get some videos of the Buick project?
Ooh, I can actually work on that pretty soon. I'm probably going to take another whack at starting the motor. My roommate and I also, we ended up dragging home a car cover last weekend. So I think you'll see a lot more videos once we have that built, and his 67 Cougar and my Buick have shoved closely away in there. But you'll probably see a lot more stuff about all the cars when the weather warms up. The Bronco's almost done. I finally got the fuel pump taken apart. Apparently the pump component itself is the same one used in the Mustangs, and I have a connection to get another one of those. So once I get all that back together, it should be running. And then, just stay tuned. And I have some pretty cool stuff lined up for FSFL. I'm sort of trying something again with some other friends. So, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Well,
oh yeah,
Matt, it's great to have you on the show. We're going to have to get you back here soon so we can talk more about it. Everyone who's listening, just hold on. I'll be right back. And Matt, I'm going to say goodbye to you off air.
All right.
Thanks everyone so much for listening. Make sure if you like what you hear, you tell a friend, loved one, coworker, whatever you can do to help spread the word of the show is great. As always, you can follow on all social media by at Untitled Car Show on Facebook, Untitled Car Show. And that's pretty much it. So thanks everyone so much for listening. Have a good night. Have a good evening. Wherever you are, whatever time it is there. Thank you so much for listening. Please be safe out there.